touch when I think of that love that sought me.
Yeah.
I am sometimes more keenly aware than others, but when I think about it, I'm keenly aware that that was a great love. Found me when I was an enemy. And he sought me out and asked me to be his child. And I am just eternally grateful.
Hey.
He has been so good to me. I was thinking this morning, once in a while I think on these lines, that I've been around long enough to see changes. I've seen people that used to be here. Remember Uncle Corky? Brother Clayton Gaines. That's the other name. Called him Uncle Corky. He's not here anymore. He's went on. Sister Roberta this morning, when we were in the early morning, the prayer meeting, there had been many a time that Sister Roberta, another one we called her Aunt Bob, she'd be over here entering in with in prayer with us. I miss her. She's still around. Her health isn't where she can be up here. And I've been around long enough to see changes. Young people grow up and make some decisions. Sometimes make decisions to go off. And my heart goes out to them. I'd like to see them here this morning. And I'm nostalgic like that, or sentimental like that. I don't think it's wrong. I want badly to see people get a hold of God. And I like to see him go ahead and get the crown. I wouldn't call Uncle Corky back. I'd like to see him again, but I'm happy for his crown. And I want that one too someday. That's what I'm striving for. I want to gain that. Though sometimes, maybe through life, I have a stumbling gait and others may wonder if I'll ever make the finish line. By his grace, I'm able. And by his grace, you are too. And God wants you and I to invest all of our love and our future and all we know how to invest it into him and allow him to take us by the hand and lead us, teach us in the changes of life. I want to think also a little bit this morning about, I was considering that, you know, I don't know. We can't boast of tomorrow. I don't know about that. I don't say that to scare us, except that it causes me to have a certain sense of urgency about the moment that we're living now. That right now, I thought, Lord, if you didn't let me come back here again, if I didn't have but just a few minutes, what would I want to tell these folks? Or what would you want me to tell these folks? What would be more important? And one of the things I would really want you to know, that if I was going to leave this earth and you're going to carry on, I'd want you to know that Jesus saves. I would really want you to know that Jesus takes lives and redeems. And Brother Tom, oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. I'm forever humbled in that presence. And I'm so grateful for that. And I would want you to know that though sometimes we look and see other people that maybe seem to be so far gone that you and I can walk away and shake our head and say, I don't think they'll ever make it. That's not God's view. It's not His view. You see, we're not bought by just the regular blood of bulls and goats, but the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord for the power of that blood today. to redeem, to take that person sold under sin, to take that person that is so sold that they are a slave to it and have no idea how to get free. There is one who hung on Calvary, that when the blood flowed down, and when he said it's finished, that meant my salvation was bought. The price of that was paid. And I thank him very much this morning. I would want you to know that he's a redeeming God. Those places that have been destroyed, those places that you might even feel that I don't know how I can recover from this, I want to tell you, he's still a redeeming God. He's still one that knows how to take those places that the locusts have seemed to eat up and there's no hope from here. He can restore that. The palmer worm may have got eaten, but he knows how to restore that. And I thank him today. I would also want you to know that his desire is not only to redeem. Before we leave the redeeming, let's go over into maybe John. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I don't want you to just take my word for it when I say he wants to redeem. I want to read you a verse. You may have already heard it. In fact, you may have learned it when you was real small. But I want to read it to you again. It's an extremely important verse. John 3. I was in the wrong chapter. Look down there. I knew that wasn't right. John 3. And maybe I would like to start here with the 15th verse. That whosoever believeth, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then it says, For God so cared. And folks, sometimes you and I can get in a place that we feel like, God surely can't love me anymore. I have been so bad, or I have done things, and I don't hardly know what to do. And I want to tell you this today, God so loved. God so cared. That he did what? For God so loved the world. That includes you. And that includes me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if anyone, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Who said that? Son of God. The Son of God said that. It wasn't me. I read it to you out of the Scripture. It's still true. One thing, I believe God would want every one of us to get a hold here today individually. Don't read this Scripture and say, well, that must have been for them. Read this Scripture and realize that God so loved the world, and that means me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that I could be redeemed, that I could have eternal life. And I thank him for that. I'd like now to tell you that the Lord, it's his great desire to keep. After he saves, after he redeems, after he reclaims you and I, those who are sold under sin, after he reclaims, he doesn't say, okay, I've forgiven you, now you're on your own. No. He takes you and I as his children and puts us under the protective umbrella of his presence. And he said he wants to give us of his Holy Spirit. And that's a word we should not shirk from, folks. We should understand that God wants to impart to you and I the very essence of his holiness, the very essence of his Spirit. He wants that element, his Holy Spirit, to come down into you and I and to replace the unholy spirit that had resided there and to replace it, and from the throne now in my heart, he wants for his ruling force to be like Him. And it's not then something that I have to strain about or always feel under a load. No, I do it out of the motivation of love. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, I always keep it open. Lord, You have right to change me however You choose. Oh, Master Potter, get hold of this clay. Make me like You. Now God, not only does He redeem and restore and begin to fill you and I, to keep you and I, it is His great desire to keep us. Read over here in the 17th chapter of also John. And on down here, maybe Jesus was praying to His Father, to God. 9th verse said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine, and all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I glory in them. Now the 11th verse says, and now I am no more in this world, but they are. They're still here. And I am come to Thee. Then He said, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. Do you know what's God's desire? First, Jesus, it's their desire to keep. He doesn't want you and I to feel at loose ends without direction in our life. The Father wants to take you and I and make us feel the ownership, and we should recognize that He now is King, and I have brought myself under subjection to such a great and benevolent monarch of heaven, and I willingly submit myself to Him. And now He wants to keep, gather you and I. Now, I want to think right now that sometimes we get this in our mind that, and I'll admit to you that I don't believe there's as much tender-hearted seeking of the Lord in this society that we're in today. It's what there may have been in past years. I feel like there's a cold hard-heartedness growing over us. But there's still some seeking. There's still seeking hearts, folks. And there's still children growing up that feel an emptiness. And God loves those. And God wants those children. And the young people, as they begin to seek, and maybe they get involved in drugs in the party life, and they come home empty some nights and say, surely there's more than this. And they come home empty and sometimes begin to wonder what's the use of living any longer, and the Lord still calls to them. He's still calling. For God loved the world. And He loved it so much that He gave His own Son. He loved us so much that He let His Son, and actually asked His Son to die as the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And He loved us so much, and He wants these young ones growing up, and not only young ones, old ones, when we finally come to ourselves and realize our great need, He wants to redeem. And then, wherever they are found across this United States, and folks, it doesn't, you don't have to be here in this congregation and come down to this altar to get saved. You know, you can get saved out there by yourself. Now, this is a good place. I'm not knocking it. I think it's a good thing to come here and feel the Spirit moving and the Lord calling. But there are people get saved out there too. You know what the Lord's doing? He's still calling. And He wants those people out there to feel His wooing and His leading. Where's He calling to? Is He calling to me? Well, let me say, is He calling those people to come to me? Is He calling those people to come to you? Only to the degree in which we have embodied Christ. But He's not calling to human leadership. He's calling to God leadership. Calling to Himself. Now Jesus was talking to his Father, and he said, "Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me these, and I love them. And Father, I'm about to go out of this world, and I pray for them. I want them to be kept. Oh, Lord, keep them. Please, Father, surround them, keep them." Isn't that what he was saying? "Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." So what's God doing now? I was thinking about the church today. Now, what do you think the church is? Sometimes in our mind, we think, well, it's this congregation down over here on the corner. It says maybe Pentecost. This one over here might say Methodist. This one over here might say Baptist. Is that the church? Oh, it's greater than that, folks. It's greater than that. In the Old Testament, the people of God, he said, "You're a chosen people." He said, it's not that you were any kind of great people or you were such a mighty. That's not the reason why I chose you. He said, "You were a small people. And I chose you because I wanted to glorify my name in you." And they didn't have much of a choice in that, except after that they followed in his leadership and in his calling. That's part of their choice. But then over in to the New Testament, the word church, in fact the word church, I'm not sure even is found in the Old Testament writings. I'm not sure. But I think it's not. But over in the New Testament writings, they talk about the church. And you know what it is? It means the ecclesia. You know what the ecclesia means? This is a Latin word? I forget it. Greek, maybe, word. That means the called out. The called ones. In the New Testament, Jesus went by the shore of Galilee. Do you remember what he did? There were some fellows over there, men in their nets. And Jesus walked by and he said, "Come and follow me." You say they had a choice. He said, "Come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And straightway they left their nets. Let me tell you, there was another one that the Lord called. And he chose to go the other way. You remember that one? Remember the rich young ruler? Remember what he did? The Lord, he came to Jesus, fell down, and Jesus told him this. He said, "Go and sell all that you have, and come and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven." And he went away sorrowful. He could have followed. Think of what he could have had. But he chose to go the other way. In the New Testament, there is a calling. And I want to tell you today, the church of God is not, it's more than a name, please, understand that. The church of God today is a calling when the Lord comes by your heart and mind. And He goes by all mankind and He calls to us and He calls us into a gathering. God wants to gather His people together. Over here, when He said, "Keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." God still wants to gather together in the oneness. And it's not, we don't come together just because we desire to be one. No, we are one because we're of the Father. Because we have the same Father. Folks, I want to tell you, this is one of the characteristics that you'll find in all the saved. There is a great hungering heart. There's a great thirsting for the things of God. And you will find that as we follow after the things of the Lord, that He will create in you and I the very characteristics of holiness. And again, we shouldn't shirk that word. That's what God, He draws us into Himself. And He creates in our hearts His holiness and His righteousness. Again, it's not in our own. It's in the Lord that holiness and righteousness is created. It's a divine act of God in the heart. And the Lord today is still calling. He's walking by wherever people are living in the troubled part of their lives, wherever they are. He's calling to individuals, will you let me redeem you? And when they are redeemed, God wants to create in them then this security of ownership that I am redeemed, I am a child of God. And they feel the great inspiration of the Lord on their heart, sometimes very ignorant in the Lord. But they have that longing. Oh, I want to be like you. And sometimes they don't look very impressive. But as they go along with the Lord, and the Lord creates in them of a carefulness in their life, you know what He's doing? He's calling to them. Did you know that's His church? That's His church. Wherever that's found, that's His church. And Brother Warner wrote that song, "We Reach Our Hand in Fellowship to Every Blood-Washed One." Because why? There's kinship there. The same fatherhood. One time, I was thinking things like this, and people have told me a few times that when they came up approaching from behind. I was doing some work one time, and a fella came up, and I had some overalls on like my father used to wear. And they came up to me, touched me on the back, and they said, "I thought that was your dad." And they looked, sometimes they've seen me in the face, and they said, "You know, your dad used to look, you look like your dad." And I have some sons, and there have been times that when we're together, I've been in people's houses, and I said, I introduced them, "This is my son Levi, this is my son Tristan," and they said, "You didn't have to tell me that. He looks like you." Did you know that's what God wants you and I spiritually to be like?
That's right.
That's why He redeemed us. That's why then He wants to bequeath to you and I His holy nature. That when we go out, there's a very brand of His characteristics on our very life. And people look at you and they say, "You look like your father. You look like him." And as then the Lord calls individuals out, what does He do? He calls, as I have written down here, He calls, the Lord Jesus came to call out a group of people out and unto Himself. Out of what? Out of sin and all that defiles. Also, out of human creeds. He calls us out of that, folks. You know, these are limiting factors. And it's not that I have animosity toward any human that sets up creed. And sometimes I believe they set it up out of honest motives. But when you boil it all down, we have to realize that whether I set up a creed or whether you set up a creed, many times that's a limiting factor. God wants those human creeds broken down. Who is it that He wants to be the leader in our life? Is it not God and His Son through His Holy Spirit? Isn't that the element that God wants? And He's still calling today. Oh, yes, He is. God still. And this was the very burden that Jesus had when He was here. God, He was getting ready to leave, and He was saying, "Father, keep them. Keep them in Thine own name, that they may be one as we are one." This is one of the things that the devil has managed to do here in this nation, and not just this nation, but worldwide. He has used human innovation to separate many times God's people, and God would like to call us, everyone, away from human innovation, even if it's my human innovation. He wants to call us away from that and to where we are hearing and following, listening for, seeking for the directing and guiding hand of God in our life, and allow Him to create in you and I what? His holiness.
Amen.
Isn't that what He wants? Yes, I believe it is. go on down here. While I was maybe in the 15th verse, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Folks, we're going to be here. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Is he able? Yes, he is. Sometimes we can get the idea in our mind because of our humanity, and I understand that, folks. I deal with humanity, and when I deal with this element right here, sometimes I can sound like I'm wanting to make room for all of our human failings, and I don't want to glorify human failings at all, because God wants to purge that. But at the same time, God recognizes that we are but dust, and He also wants to purge you and I from failings. He wants to strengthen that concerns us. Now, here Jesus said that you'd keep them from the evil. There are times in our walk with the Lord when we can feel like I've made such a bad mistake that surely the Lord can't love me anymore. Surely the Lord is going to cut me off. Well, only God really knows that, and only we can really know where that line is when we're dealing with the Lord. But I want to tell you, be careful that you don't let the devil ride us to the point that we just give up. Because the Lord Himself would like to, He wants to be that keeping force in our heart and in our life as we walk day by day. He wants to sort out those places. He wants to purge that concerns you and I. He wants to change those places that are incomplete. And He wants to complete those things. By His Word and by His Holy Spirit, He wants to be at work in our life. And Jesus prayed here and said, Father, keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Then He said, sanctify them. You know what this means? Not only cleanse and purge, but to set them apart. Keep them separated from the world. And I want to tell you today, we shouldn't seek to unite with the world. Because in trying to unite, we will be breaking down a wall that God intended to be there. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Maybe let's skip on down here to 22nd verse. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are. What's this glory He's talking about? The glory of the Lord is demonstrated in power over the enemy. Now you and I, a lot of times we think about the glory as being something great and something magnificent and a lot of emotion. That's not the glory. The glory is the might of God and His ability to confront the enemy and have victory over him. And He said, the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. In other words, this ought to be encouraging to you and I today, that the Lord has bequeathed to you and I the might and the power, the ability to face the foe and get the victory. Jesus said, I've given that to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I can't get away from this idea that I believe the Lord wants to gather you and I together in a oneness. Yes. Of wherever that's found, when we feel the sweet wooing of the Lord, wherever it is, and whatever stage on the road of coming to the Lord, wherever we are, did you know the Lord wants to call us all together that we may be an encouragement, we may be a blessing to one another, that we may feel the oneness of His body. Jesus Christ doesn't have three or four bodies. He's got one. God doesn't have more than one bride. He's got one. And He wants you and I to hear the sweet call of the voice of the Lord and be brought together. This is a way, brought, called away from the siren calls of the world, the activities that would defile the mind, those things that would cause you and I to fall prey to evil. God wants to fortify and establish you and I in His righteousness. Thy word is no. The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And then He says, I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Here again, it's God's great desire and His Son's great desire that His purchased children would be one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also which Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. The Lord wants to take you and I and draw us real near unto Him. I think now over here in 1 Peter, he gives a description over here. Over here in the second chapter of 1 Peter, talks about us as being lively stones. And again, I want us to get away from the idea of a church being a building or human creeds building this. The Lord wants to break down human creeds. He wants His creed. He wants His voice and His calling, His essence, His presence in our midst. He wants that to be the force that causes you and I to be glorified, to be clothed in His righteousness, to be like Him. Over here he says in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the fifth verse, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. Today, if you put your trust in the Lord and you change and you become careful with your life, there might be a lot of people come by and look at you and say, they're so strange. They're so odd. We don't like being around them anymore. Did you know the world hated him too? And also, there were some of those afterwards, after they had spoken ill of him. Do you remember the one that was at the foot of the cross when he died? He smote his breast. The Lord's presence affects people. He said, now you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Who was that chief cornerstone? That was Jesus. Elect, precious, and he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. When other people may look at you and wonder about the decisions you made and ridicule you, I want to tell you, you stay with the Lord, you won't be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. It's to those who are disobedient. Those are the ones He's a stone of stumbling. It's to those who are disobedient, to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But, the ninth verse now. How does the Lord look at you and I? He said, you're a chosen generation. Here in this generation we live in today, we're a blessed generation. This is a generation which God has chosen to call His church. The grace dispensation. Where the Lord Himself has chosen to come down and dwell among you and I. And make it so that His truth can be implanted in our heart. Where He can take a vile individual and redeem them and reclaim them and change, take the old stony heart out of their body and replace it with a heart of flesh, a carefulness, a tenderness toward the things of the Lord. This is what the Lord is able to do. In that we are a chosen, we are a blessed generation. This one we're living in today. Oh, it's a glorious generation. It's no longer the Jew. Do you remember when Peter, he was a Jew, and you remember when there was a man that the Lord testified to us was a righteous man. He was mentioned in the scripture? Remember Cornelius? And just man. He was a just man. And he was seeking the Lord. And you remember the angel appeared to him and said, the Lord's heard your prayer. And he said, Cornelius, you send down there and told him where to go and who to ask for. And Cornelius did. He sent a faithful soldier and another couple servants of his to go down there and ask for this Peter. And when they headed down that direction, while they were traveling to get a hold of Peter, Cornelius was going around knocking on doors and telling his friends and neighbors, and said, we're going to have a meeting over here. And I don't know who, they said his name was Peter. They said, no, God told me his name was Peter. And this is what the Lord told me, that when he comes here, he's going to tell us what we ought to do. And as they went down there, Peter was wondering. It was about time to eat. He went up there and he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, you remember the sheet that came down? It wasn't all kosher things in that sheet. Some unclean things in there. And the Lord told him, eat. And Peter said, no. I've never done that, Lord. The Lord gave him space to think. Gave him another chance. Eat, Peter. No, Lord. Never done that. See, you remember the story. He woke up and he got thinking, what does this mean? And the Lord said, there's some men down there knocking at the gate. And they're wanting you. And I've told them to come get you. And you go with them. Doubt nothing. You know there was a soldier down there? And I imagine sometimes the early saints wonder what soldiers were knocking at the door for. He said, go with him, nothing doubting. So Peter went down there, and I don't know, I kind of have in my mind these other brethren was at this gate knocking, and somebody came out and said, what do you want? Does Peter live here? Yeah. We need to see him. And I don't know, these brethren at the gate may have, the others here, they may have thought, what? What's a soldier? What are they wanting to come here for? About this time, Peter comes up behind him and says, you looking for me? Yes. Come on. They fed him. And the next day, they went back. You remember what happened now when they went back? When he went in there, and as soon as he walked in the door, this centurion, Roman centurion, fell on his face. Peter said, get up. And Cornelius told him the reason why he was called. And Peter began to talk to him about Jesus. And as they believed and received the word The Holy Spirit came on them just like He did back on the day of Pentecost. And it was a sign unto the Jews. It was something they grasped, they recognized. Peter, after that, he said, "How can I argue against the Lord? This is what the Lord did." He said, I have perceived that that middle wall of partition is broken down. I put that in there. But that's also contained in the Scripture. I now recognize the Lord as no respecter of persons. Did you know the call is to Jews and Gentiles alike today? It's to every man, everywhere. It's to young and to old alike. The Lord calls. You know the reason why? Because He's so loved. You know the reason why He wants to gather you and I into one? Because He wants the people to see the sweet body of Christ. He wants to see the unity. He wants people to see the unity and the power and the glory of the Lord at work in our lives. He wants that done here in Wisconsin. He wants that done over there in Pennsylvania. He wants that done where Brother Tom lives. Where you are. He wants it in Kansas where you and I live. He wants it over there, wherever it is. Wherever we're from here. He wants His glory lived out in our life. He wants to take you and I, the impossible human, the one who can't do it by themselves, and He wants to empower you and I to live righteously and godly in this present. And call us together. But when we come together, haven't known each other. Oh, I've met people that I'd never met before. And I got up there and got to talking with them. And in just short order, I felt a kinship of spirit. You ever done that? Oh, you see, the Lord's at work. Got talking about the things of the Lord. And things they were sharing to me, oh, it rung true in my heart. And I got to where I say, thank the Lord. Last night, right here in this congregation, met a couple I'd never seen or met before. And I didn't realize until I started talking to them that I'd already prayed for them. There was a request came down to the home congregation there in Oklahoma. And about a young Amish couple who was trying to leave. Trying to they were leaving that group. And it was real hard for them. The prayer request came in and I was praying for them, Lord, help them. And last night when I went up there and started talking with this young man, I didn't know, he introduced myself, and he told me his story. And I thought, oh, I feel a kinship here. There's something that calls you and I away. And folks, I'm not saying here this morning, I'm not here to throw off on the Amish people. I think there's some good and sweet people. But you know, God's not in the creeds of man. You know what He's in? He's in the hearts of man. He wants to call you and I away from all preconceived. He wants to call us into His holiness and His righteousness. And though that young man last night, when I began to talk with him, and he began to tell me his story and the price that he's paid, oh, I think, I saw what the Lord's been doing. He said, I wasn't even saved. He said, when I left there, but he's gotten saved since then. There was another man one time that I'd gotten in touch with, and he'd gotten saved, and the Lord was at work in his life, and he found such a sweet peace, such a joy of the Lord in his heart. And the Lord was calling him to something greater than what he was in. And here I was, wasn't in a religious meeting at all, but at a time when I was talking with him, we were, I think, over in Kentucky or maybe Tennessee, I forget where we were. I was talking to this man, and he got to telling me about his experience of salvation. And it didn't take long, I recognized this is exactly what the Lord had been doing here. Well, he looked like my father. He had some resemblance to the Heavenly Father. And as we began to talk, and he told me his story, and after he got saved, this joy was bubbling up inside of him, and he went back to church and he began to tell them what the Lord was doing. And they came to him afterwards and said, you're going to need to be quiet. That doesn't. And he said he just couldn't keep quiet. He had to keep telling people in person. They told him, well, you just can't come back here anymore. And he felt disheartened. He felt down because that was all he knew. But he said as he was over there by himself, Lord, he'd read his Bible and he said the Lord would bless his soul. And oh, the Lord was calling something out from down inside here. And as he went on, he told me this. Now, you may have heard me relate this before, but I'll relate it again. He had some special seed that he was saving that was he was planting to plant that next spring. And through the winter months, his children got a hold of that seed and scattered it out for the chickens to eat. And the next spring, when he went looking for the seed, he couldn't find it. And he looked all around, and it was really, really special to him. And he went and asked his children, do you know anything about that seed? And they said, yes, we gave it to the chickens. And he told me, he said, there was something down in here began to rise up. He said, it wasn't like God. It wasn't right. And he said, I went back to my place of prayer. And he said, I poured out my heart and said, Lord, I don't want this any longer. And he said, as he was begging and seeking the Lord, wanting deliverance from that element in his life, he said, such a sweetness flowed over him. He was telling me this, folks, in tears. Old bearded man. He looked like an Amish, but he was a saint. That's what he was. Folks, sainthood goes beyond the boundaries of church buildings, organizations. It's the call of God. It's a responding heart. It's the one who says, I want you, Lord, above all else. And I hear the sweet sound of your voice. And I won't have anything less than your presence in my life. And that brother began to tell me this experience and how he said after he did that, he said, I've had such victory in my life. He didn't even know what to call it. And I didn't need to tell him what to call it. If he had the experience, that's good enough for me. I felt the kinship, folks. He was my brother. He's my brother. And I'm always, it just thrills my heart when I'm traveling down the road to stop somewhere and we begin to talk and I find a sweet spirit in somebody. The Lord's working in their heart. That's the church. That right there is the church. And it is God's desire to draw us all together. To make us feel that unity. To break down the walls that divide. To break down the things that would hold us apart. I want to tell you, God calls us to His side, to His holiness, to His glory. Beyond the walls. Beyond the creeds of man. There is a church. I want to tell you, God's still building a church. Remember over there when He asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? And He got down to the point where Peter confess, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he turned to Peter. He said, I know you too, Peter. Your name's Peter. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to tell you today, the Lord's still building a church. The Lord's still calling people to His side, to that rock, Christ Jesus, to this one here, though the builders, though many times people of the world have disallowed those people here, the Jewish nation, they rejected, but I want to tell you it's still there. It's solid. It's a tried stone. It's true. And it's safe for you and I to build our lives on. To come to Him, to hear His voice, invest all of our life in Him. That's what God has for you and I today. And He's still building a church. And He's calling to you and I, wherever we are today, to come out. Come away from the world. Come away from anything that I have in my mind that would keep me away from the Lord. Come out of that, He says. And He takes us just like we are. And He takes us and molds us and shapes us. And it's His glory to look at the finished product. Oh, He takes sometimes an old rough, hard block of granite, and it begins to chip away and show His glory in that thing. It's His glory. It's His sweetness. It's His joy to take you and I in our incomplete state and perfect that which concerns us. Now you, in this lively stones, He takes you and I. We're built up a spiritual house. Ninth verse, yes. You are a chosen generation. You're now a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. This says peculiar people. Sometimes when we read that verse and that word, we get in our mind, we're a strange people. Well, maybe to some folks we are strange. Some folks out in the world might be strange. But that's not what this is meaning. We are a owned people. We are a particular purchase. There you go. That's one of the words I'm trying to get to. We are a purchase. We are owned. We are of the Lord. We're not just loose. It's peculiar unto the Lord. Ownership of the Lord. We are His people. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you now, as strangers and pilgrims, I beseech you now, recognize who we are. I no longer am owned by this world. I'm a peculiar people. I'm a purchased. I'm an owned individual. By what? By the precious blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. I beseech you now, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers, declare to the world, when we walk by it, keep on walking. All we have, this world is, as the song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. There's another song. Oh, I can't get a hold of it now. There's other songs that talk about that we are just strangers and pilgrims here. My dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from these things, the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The Lord would like, I believe the Lord would like for us to know this morning, He's not done calling. He's still building a church. He's still calling you and I out of the things of the world. He's still calling us out of our own self. He's still calling us out of things of confusion into His glorious light. It's said here, who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So what's His church? I hope this morning we can realize that it's not little groups with different names. You know what it is? It's all the redeemed. And that's me. And that's you if you're redeemed. And God takes you and I. And He feeds our souls. And He binds us to His heart with His love. Calls us into His presence. Away from ourselves. Away from the world. He's calling a group of people. When Jesus went by the shores of Galilee, and He said, come, come. I'll make you fishers of men. Do you know He still wanted to do that? Come, follow me. And then Jesus said this later on, if any man would come after me, let him quit himself. Quit. It says deny yourself. That's true. Let him put his own human passions down. And then, Lord, we fellowship thy passion. I want to be like you. And as we do that, God brings us together and unites a group of human beings. And we come together then and we begin to talk to each other in our human, in our personal conversations. And it's not long. You start seeing a couple brothers or sisters over there and they're sharing things together. And you see them, oh, they feel that kinship. Oh, wonderful. That's what the Lord's been doing. It's what the Lord's been sharing, been teaching me. Emptying vessel to vessel. And as a sweet harmony flows. And all as that comes, the Lord in that setting loves to pour out His Spirit. Oh, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us His kingdom. I want to tell you today that the Lord's still calling. He's still calling a church, His church. He's still building His church. And He still wants you and I to hear His voice and flee those things that defile and come to the sweet presence and ownership of His very presence, His very essence, His Spirit and His Word and His very arms. Pray for me. I want to live.